As we had said earlier, this is where we started, around this piano. And on Sunday mornings, we would get up and we would stand up here. But when we would practice, we would gather around the piano, just like this. Try not to be so formal. I remember getting up here singing the first few times, and my microphone would shake so bad because I was so nervous. But in practice, where we were all gathered around the piano, I was comfortable. And I knew that God had put me with these guys, and I love them, and I'm thankful for them. And we recorded a song on the last CD, and Daryl sang it, and he did a good job. But Marty's going to sing it and play the piano. It's a good song. It's Now I Have Everything.
Valley is too wide. Down on crucified. is high. I was never out of his mind for a moment. He was thinking of me when he died. He was thinking of me when he died. He was thinking of me when he died.
It was the day before my 9th birthday. I was sitting where Dale's sitting with Opal Carter. And don't really know what was going on, but Grandpa was preaching. And it was kind of like I just knew. Grandpa had talked to me about it many times, and I just knew that there was not that peace that everybody had talked about. And I wanted it so bad. But until that day, I wasn't really convicted about it. And that day, Opal touched me. That's all she had to do. And I ran out to the altar and I prayed. And
you know, I don't know how long I was there. I know about 1:30 I got up and I knew that that peace had flowed into my heart. I did turn around at one point and some of y'all were here and I was wondering why y'all were not praying. Y'all were just singing around me. I did. I turned around and I said, why aren't y'all praying for me? And then I started praying again. But that has been the sweetest peace that I have ever known. And it has taken me through many, many valleys, many, many mountains. And he's always been right there with me. Go ahead, Jess.
I was going to another church, entirely different faith, when my, at that time, girlfriend, Lisa Buckaloo, her entire family, her brother, Rick, who's here somewhere, and sister Diane and mom and dad, Buck and Eileen, were all members here. And Lisa and I went out on a date on a Saturday or a Sunday, I believe it was. And I believe on that following Monday, BD, Billy Dan Carter, who is the pastor of this church, passed away. And, you know, I could see the agony that she and Rhonda, who was her best friend, I guess, at the time, Rhonda Harrison, they were going through. And she desperately wanted me to come to church. I came here to church one Sunday. I believe Johnny Carver had filled the pulpit that day. At the time, he was the senior high college age class teacher. And it was within 2 or 3 weeks of that time, and Johnny was up here trying to preach, and the church had come unglued. Everybody was shouting and clapping, and the religion that I was raised up in, that's just not the way you came to church. And so I just turned to her and I said, how can anybody, I remember very distinctly during the opening prayer, everybody was praying. I said, how can anybody hear the person that was asked to be led the prayer with everybody praying? I just didn't understand at that time. Came to Johnny's class a few times. Lisa became very frustrated. She talked to Johnny behind my back and asked and asked if Johnny would talk to me. She asked me one night if I'd like to go over to Johnny and Jill's house at that time. Their kids were little. John, Michael, and Rachel were real small. We went over to their house, and I brought my Bible. I was going to argue with Johnny Carver.
It's funny now.
I was going to go over there, and I was going to show him who was right. And I remember walking in the door, had my Bible. We sat down at his kitchen table. Kids were off in another room. I think maybe even Jill might have gone to another room with him. And Johnny said, let's not open the Bible just yet. I just want to talk to you a little bit. He said, do you know if you're going to heaven? And I was like, well, I've been a pretty good guy. I mean, I was MTSU. I was kind of a campus missionary for the church I was going to. Did a lot of stuff that I thought was just primo. And he was like, that's real good stuff. You know, I'm glad that you have tried. But do you know if you're going to heaven? I was like, well, like I said, I'm a pretty good guy. He said, I mean, do you know that you know that you know that you can go to heaven, that you're going to go to heaven? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I guess when I get to heaven one day, I'll find out if what I did was good enough. And he was like, that's just not the way it works. And he gave his testimony. And Lisa cried through her testimony. And Jill came in, I believe, and gave her testimony. And I was ready to go. I told her, I said, yeah, I got to go. I got to do something for work. I made up some really lame excuse. We left, and I took her home without even getting her dinner, which she has brought up on numerous occasions since then. But went home that night. I don't think I got much sleep. All night long, one thing that Johnny did tell me at the very end, he said, I don't know, you believe in God, right? Well, of course I do, because I was still quarreling with where I was going to go to heaven. He said, you go home, and you pray to God. If you believe in him, he'll let you know. And so I went home, prayed all night, got up the next day, went to work, sat at a drawing desk. And I sat at the drawing desk, and it just burned me that I had been working so hard all my life to try to attain what he was talking about was attainable, or to know that it was attainable here. And I ended up, I walked over, I shut my door to the office, I locked the door, I got down in the floor, and I just told God, I said, God, you know I have tried all my life to do the right thing, and I just don't understand what's going on. And I just begged him show me if this is something that I can have, or if actually the religion that I've been going to is right and we have to do good things. Didn't feel a thing. And I stayed there for a while. And I realized, I started feeling more and more convicted about what was happening in my life and what I had done. And I just told God, I said, God, look, you know I've loved you all my life. Whatever I've got to do, please, God, save me. It was that quick. Right there in my office floor, he took care of it. And just a little while ago, I sang the song, Child of the King. And it's great to be a child of the King. It's awesome to be a child of the King. That's the greatest day of my life. The second greatest day of my life was last March when my daughter got saved. All of you who are parents know that. It's great to be a child of the King, and I'm proud that Savannah is a child of Vaughn and a child of Lisa, but I am so much more proud of the fact that she's a child of the King.
Well, I think you all have heard mine a time or two. I'm not bashful about sharing it. For some reason, when we're singing, you won't get me to talk much if we're not singing. I don't know why that is. My wife's got on me about that. You come off the road and you never say nothing anymore. She's probably thankful for that, to be honest. But when I was 19 years old, on February the 13th, 1991, I set foot in church for the first time in my life. And I didn't know what it was about. I'll be honest, the only reason I went to the church that day was because they had invited me to come play basketball with them for a while. And they played Sunday night after church, and they said, well, you know, you've been coming, enjoying this fellowship for a while. You should come visit us at church, you know, if you want to keep doing this. And I thought, well, that's a small price to pay for a Kentucky boy to get to play basketball, was to go to church once a week. And for those of you who know Kentucky basketball, you know what I'm talking about. But I went for about a month, and you guys are going to laugh again. But they started talking about lost people, and I really had no clue. I was that oblivious to what they were talking about. I didn't know what it meant to be lost. I thought we could get in a car and go find lost people. That's the only time I'd ever heard the word lost used. And, well, about a month went by, and I realized what lost was. And on a Wednesday night, March 13th, 1991, the Lord got a hold of me. And I had left the fellowship hall that night from youth group and went to a store next door, and I told all the kids, I said, oh, I forgot to tell the youth director about something. I'm gonna run back over there and tell him about something real quick. When you're lost, you think you can hide stuff, but saved people, as we know now, can see a lot of stuff that lost people can't see. And they all knew what was happening. And I went back over to the fellowship hall, and I told the youth director, some lost, I need to pray. And before my knee ever hit the ground, the Lord knew where my heart was, and he gave me peace. Yep. Just like that. And that's what the song a while ago, I Know That I Know, it says it all happened in a second. And it really did for me. I know some people it takes a while, some people it doesn't. I was one of those people that I didn't know any better. I didn't know I was supposed to hold on to anything. I'd been told I was supposed to give up, and I did. And I knew if I went home that night that hell would be my home, and there was nothing that I could do about it, and I had to get it right. And he gave me peace that night, and I'm so thankful right there. In a fellowship hall in Eastern Kentucky in front of an old floor heater. I love to tell that part of the story because I always used to envy people that had good testimonies, and the Lord gave me a real nice one there at the end of a just a good old country setting in a, you know, just a good old-fashioned way. And that's what it is when it comes to salvation. There's a lot of things that we get involved in that we shouldn't, and that's one of them. That's the most one. I can deal with a lot of stuff, but I can't deal with you messing up salvation. And just like Vaughn, I'm thankful for him saving my daughter. I got one more that's lost. And I'm sure I'll come unglued on the last song today. But somebody stands up.
Well, I told a little bit of my testimony, but I'll tell the rest of it. I was brought up knowing what being lost meant, and knowing how to get saved, and we were in a revival at my home church, and I think my cousin had went up to the altar on Tuesday night, and after the service was over, he came into the bathroom, and you know, he asked me if I was lost, and I was like, well, yeah, because I knew I was, but I said, but I'm not going up there until somebody comes and makes me, you know. I just wasn't going to do it. They're going to have to drag me. So the next night, I went to church, and I'd actually fallen asleep during the sermon, and I had a bad dream and threw my glasses up against the wall. But I woke up, and they were doing the altar call, and I don't remember what song they were singing, but the pastor at the time, D.W. Story, came down the aisle, and I was sitting on this side of the church, and he came down walking between the aisleway and the wall, and I just knew he was coming for me. You know, it was just, I feel like I had sinner tattooed on my forehead. But he passed me, and he stopped to my cousin who was sitting right behind me, and he started talking to her about hell and, you know, how if you're not saved, that's going to be your home. And that was all stuff that I knew. But for some reason, that's when real conviction set in. And I couldn't get up to the altar quick enough. And I don't know how long I prayed, but I know that I tried to make deals with God. And God, if you'll just save me, I'll do this. And God, I'll do that. And nothing. And I just kept praying. I'm thinking, what is going on? You know, what do you have to do? And I remember praying, I don't know what else to do, Lord. Just please save me. And like that, he saved me. When I got to the end of myself and realized that it was bigger than me, there was no deal I could make. There was nothing I could say or do but just say, Lord, here I am. I surrender, please. Please save me. And he did. I'm thankful for that, you know. Like Scott, you know, that's carried me through a lot of hard times. And I know it's going to carry me through some more. But I've got a promise of a better home waiting for me. I'm thankful for that today above all else. We're going to try to sing a song. Y'all know it. It's a song I grew up listening to my dad sing. So I'll be waiting for you.
Clasp your hands.